Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wassalamu rasulullah. You're listening to Islam Always. We're always open 24 hours a day. And by the way, for those of you who just tuned in, we're in a question and answer series. It's live broadcast we're doing right now. And we're taking questions from the audience. We're going to be putting that up now. We've been talking on the subject of religion and our religions, just something made up to deceive people. And we said that actually Islam is saying essentially that. That man-made religions aren't acceptable. So, let's now take some questions from our audience. First question. It asks me the question here. Yes, you're asking about the Quran and whether or not you're allowed in Islam to give the Quran to someone. It has both Arabic and English in it. And that's a good question. Yes, you can give it to them, Allahu alam, but you can give it to them because that's the reason it has English in it. It's because you're trying to convince them or show them what Islam is about. You can't do that by giving them, the Bible. You have to let them read the Quran. The fact that it has English mixed with it, according to some of the scholars, it's not exactly Quran anymore. It becomes tafsir. And I read that in Maududi's tafsir in the translation from some of the stuff of Imam Shafi. So if you want to just give me English only, though, we have those available with English only. That's also available. It's a good question. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Let's go now to the next question. Somebody is saying to me, I'm a non-Muslim and I'm learning about Islam. One of the things that keep me away from all religions is the contradictions seen over the websites. I've understood your lecture and I expect Allah to be the one and only perfect. Yeah. Jeffrey, that's what this whole program was about. It's for your question that you said earlier. And we agree with you. And there's no religion out there except it's going to have contradictions unless it came from God. Now, can Islam have contradictions? No. It's impossible. Because Islam is not from human beings. Islam, the word means submit your will to God's will. That is not a contradiction. You are not the creator. Therefore, it's very logical that it's Allah who will make the rules. Bismillah. Right. Now, we got another question coming up. I want to take these one by one and try to go through them rather quickly, see if we can handle that all right. I'm going to take Zena's question. She says, he says, I have tried every religion I've heard of so far, and I've liked Islam, but I still have a question. The question is regarding Allah. Can I prove that there is there a proof that Allah exists? I'd like to share with you that there's a couple of things that we've put on the internet to try to help present the Islamic viewpoint about this. And one of them is, as far as I'm concerned, I think a good evidence is when scientists who otherwise don't even believe in God at all are suddenly looking at Islam and saying, we have to admit that there is a God. And it's because of the work of the Muslims producing what's in Quran and in the Hadith or teachings of Muhammad that these scholars of other sciences or disciplines have had to say, whoa, wait a minute, let's back up, rethink our position. Let me give you an example. Number one, go to islamyesterday.com. islamyesterday.com. You'll see a link there for science. Click on that and then go to the site. This being a live broadcast, I'm putting it up there right now. You can see it. But if you hear this in the future and you go, you say, well, where is that? Well, you can also do it another way. You can simply type our website name, islamyesterday.com, then put a slash mark after that, then put the word science, science, and it will take you so that you can actually listen to these scholars. You can watch their videos. We've posted, I think, 7 of the videos up there. Different scholars, different sciences, well-known scholars around the world. Dr. Keith Moore and Dr. I don't recall all their names at the top of my head. But go there and see for yourself. See what they say. One of them made his Shahada and entered Islam while he was on video camera. This is something I think is amazing. That's one proof. Now, there are other proofs. Some of the other proofs we have available for you to consider. Just go to this, Islam Tomorrow. That was Islam yesterday. Go to Islam Tomorrow and then type the word A-L-L-A-H. That's Allah. Type on that. Click on it. I'm putting it up there now. You can see one of Allah's names. Just one of his names, and read what it says about just one of his names. And that in itself is something for you to think about. Then I want you to visit a page. It's called islamtomorrow.com/allah.asp. Try that and read what you find there. I'd like for you to take the time to go through that, though. This is not something you just look at it and say, yeah, well, whatever. It's going to take time because you have to read those additional pages which are attached, that the links are there. Check it out for yourself. And then come back here with us from time to time and we'll discuss these things. Let's go to the next question. We have a question now from Curdy. Then next after that, I believe we have a question going to come up from Jeffrey. Then Miguel. Curdy, could we have your question, please? Bismillah, alhamdulillah. We're going to start again with some more questions. We have a question now. This question is coming to us from Jeffrey. He's asking about websites that we call them some names, but why not provide answers? That's very good. Inside the Quran, it states heaven was created first. Then another verse, it said earth was created first, which is true. Well, first of all, when you're going to say the Quran says something, you have to give us a verse. Where is the verse? Where are the verses? Tell us the verse that you're talking about. We'll look it up. There are 6,327 verses in the Quran. They use approximately 3,000 different words in Arabic, which are used in different forms of those words. The Quran has never been changed. It still is existing today as it was when it was revealed 1,400 years ago. And at that time, people knew full well what was there. So all you got to do is just tell us the verse and we can go from there. Bismillah, alhamdulillah. We're dealing with some questions now about the Quran. And this is an excellent chance for us to show what Islam really has. Because when you know the Quran and look to the Quran, you will find that it's impossible for a human being to be able to duplicate this great work. Now, there are some verses that someone has asked about. It said that they thought they found contradiction here. A'udhu billah, may Allah save us from such things as this. But we'll read it for the benefit of those who would like to know. I'm reading, first of all, to you from Surah 79, verses 27 through 30. It said, which is more difficult for Allah to create? Actually, I'll read it to you literal. It said, which is more difficult to create? You or the heaven that He constructed? Which one? He raised its height, and He has equally ordered it. Its night He covers with darkness, and its forenoon He brings out with light. After that, He spread the earth. Okay? Next, we're going to go to the Surah Baqarah. That's chapter 2. That was 79. Now we're going to go to chapter 2. It is He who created for you all that is on the earth. Okay, that's chapter 2, verse 29. And then He, Astawa, rose over toward the heaven and made them seven heavens, and He's the all-knower of everything. He created for you what is on the earth. Okay, then we're going to go to chapter 41, Al-Fusilat, verses 9 through 12. I'll read those for you. Allah, say, and this is telling Muhammad, peace be upon him, what to say. Do you verily disbelieve in Him who created the earth in 2 days, and you set up rivals with Him for worship? That is the Lord of the Alameen. That means the Lord of the worlds, the mankind, jinns, and all that exists. He placed therein, meaning the earth, firm mountains from above it, and He blessed it and measured therein its sustenance for its dwellers in 4 days equal. All these 4 days are equal in length of time. This is an explanation here. Not in the Quran, but explanation by some of the experts. For all those who ask about its creation. He then estawa. Says he estawa. Means rose over, rose up. Estawa. Positioned himself. Towards the heaven, when it was still smoke. And he said to it and to the earth, come, both of you, willingly or unwillingly. And they both said, we come willingly. Now, if you heard a contradiction in there, we need to know what would be that contradiction. It's been implied in the email that was sent to us, that IM says, that this is a contradiction because it appears that in one place he said he created the earth first, in another place he said he created the heavens first. And from what I read to you, that is very evident he didn't say that. That is not what it says, not in the Arabic, nor in the English translation. The only way you can get this kind of an idea is if somebody tried to translate it for you that didn't know what they were doing, or intended purposely to try to show something that's not there. There are no contradictions in the Quran, because there's a clear verse in the Quran that said, have they not considered, it's talking about the unbelievers, have the disbelievers not considered, if it were from other than Allah, they would find within it, the Quran, many contradictions. If it were other than from Allah, you would find within it many contradictions. And what we're saying for 1400 years, find one. And nobody has ever found a contradiction. Those people who claim to have done so are those who want to find a contradiction. They don't want to believe in Allah, and they're trying to give themselves excuses in front of the people why they refuse to worship God alone without partners, why they refuse to obey His commandments, and why they continue to be disobedient. And so then they commit the worst of all sins. They lie. They lie against their Creator. And where do you think these people will be on the Day of Judgment? And the answer to that one is obvious. And certainly I don't want to be with them, and you don't either. So may Allah save us from that. We have another question coming up. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, we've got another question right here. Miguel is asking us on the subject of salvation. What kind of salvation is provided in Islam? This may be the last question we take tonight. I do want to tell you that we will be having more programs coming up like this, but this one needs some special attention. So everybody sit back, relax, don't type anything to the screen, because this takes a couple of minutes to explain. First and foremost, I want to mention to you, when I came to Islam, that was my concern. What kind of salvation do you get in Islam? Because I need to be saved. I grew up in a mentality of people. Although I was a Protestant, I was not particularly a Baptist, but I hung out with the Baptists because there were many in our area, and it was the closest church. It was walking distance from my house. I used to go there all the time, especially when they'd have their nightly revivals, when they had their special services, especially music services, choir groups and everything like that. And I heard them preach a message over and over and over. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Declare Jesus as your Savior and that you're a Baptist, and then you will be saved. But when I went to the Muslims and tried to convert a Muslim to Islam, I thought for sure they'd be impressed with our method of salvation. Just say Jesus died for your sins and you're saved. Then I was amazed because the Muslim told me, I'll go to your religion if your religion is better than my religion. And I went, huh? Well, there's a deal. There's no religion easier than Christianity. You do not have to pray as a Christian. You don't have to stand and bow and prostrate like the Muslims do. You don't have to fast the month of Ramadan. You don't have to pay charity. You can. It's good for you. You don't have to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land like Muslims do. You don't have to keep up with 33,000 gods like the Hindus have, according to their own books. You don't have to do some kind of weird lotus position and be a Buddhist and sit there twisted up with your body and limbs and going om and things like this. Like, I think it's the Taoists, or which one is the metaphysics. I don't know. Point is, in Christianity, you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is say, I believe in Jesus. Died as a sacrifice for my sins, and He's God in the flesh, and He's one in three of a Trinity, etc., etc., etc. All of this, just say that, and you're saved. That's what we were told. So it's got to be an easier religion. But listen now, the Muslim said, but. And I said, but. He said, I'll go to your religion if it's better than my religion, but you'll have to have proof. And this is what you folks are asking me about today in your questions. What's the proof? And Miguel, for sure the proof of Islam is amazing. It's an amazing proof. But let me continue just for a second. When we call to Islam, we do not promise you that if you're a Muslim, you're saved. We don't do that. And we don't tell you that the best of the people that we have are our teachers and leaders and they're going to the highest place. We don't tell you that either. In fact, what we can guarantee you, when you come to Islam, the guarantee is we can promise you a person can get to hell. There's no doubt about that. You can get to hell. That's easy. That's the easy part of Islam. You want to go to hell? It's very easy. Just be disobedient to Allah, deny Him, and that's where you will go. And as far as our leaders and teachers, if they do not practice what they preach, if they preach one thing but live another, if they're what we call munafiq or hypocrites, they will be in the lowest part of hell, and Allah will start the fire of hell with them. And you say, boy, that's not very merciful. No, it's not. Unless you look at it from God's point of view, it's very merciful. It means that the people who get mercy are those who give mercy, and the ones who are dealt with in truth are those who dealt with the truth. And the liars deal with their problems. So if you're a clean-hearted, clear-minded, loving soul going through this life, doing your best, serving your Lord, the God of the universe, to the best of your ability, according to what you know, you are on the path of salvation. It is up to Allah, the judge of all of the universe, to decide. It is up to Him to look to the heart of the person to see who is sincere and who is not sincere. But His mercy is prevailing over His wrath. This is what He has said. God has said this. That it was written in His book, which was put up with Him before He began the creation, that His mercy will prevail over His wrath, His anger. Now, to give you a demonstration of His mercy. Throughout the Quran, 114 chapters, 113 of those chapters begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And this says, in the name of Allah, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and this is from Rahama. And that means mercy. And Rahama is for Rahma and Rahim. So it's double mercy. And every time he starts all the chapters except one. But then we find inside of one of the other chapters, it talks about Suleiman wrote a letter to Bathsheba, and he began the letter with Bismillahirrahmanirrahim for a total of 114 times in the Quran, equaling the number of the surahs in the Quran. How many times Allah said Bismillahirrahmanirrahim? In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, the most beneficent. He is the all-merciful. He is mercy. That is one of His names. He is mercy. He is benevolent. He is compassionate. He is all-forgiving. But only for those who deserve it. Because He's also all-fair. He's adil. Al-adil means that He is totally and completely just. It means those who are deprived in this life receive in the next life. Those who cheat in this life will find what's waiting for them in the next life. There is a balance. There is retribution. There is restitution. There will be compensation. And all of this is on the day of Yawm al-Haq. Yawm al-Haq, the day of absolute truth, which is waiting for all of us. Yawm al-Hisab, the day of payback, is waiting for all of us. Yawm al-Qiyamah, the day of resurrection, to be brought forth again, to be recreated as we were in the first place, is all promised in this book, in this Holy Quran. And it teaches that over and over, that those people who were here in this life will be brought back again. The good news is, in Islam, every single soul will be recreated again as a human being again. They will be brought back. Every Jew, every Christian, every Hindu, every Buddhist, every atheist, every Muslim, every single human, and every jinn will be recreated again. But The bad news is, not all are going to paradise. The vast majority of the human beings will go to hell because of what? Because of their disobedience to the Almighty. The good news, we still have good news even for them. All of them will get out of hell except those who refuse. And who would refuse? Those who refuse Allah in this life, they'll refuse Him in the next life. And they will not be allowed out of the hellfire. But everybody else, every bad Muslim, will eventually get his payback, and he'll get out of there and he'll get to go to paradise. But if he wasn't a true Muslim, regardless of his name, regardless of what country he came from, who do these people think that that's going to work just because it says Muslim on your passport? No way. Those who really tried, they believed in God, tried to do God's will. But when they understood that something better came, they would go to that. As an example, the Jews at the time of Jesus knew Jesus was the Messiah. Many of them knew it, and they rejected Him. Those who followed Him understood that the message was being updated, so to speak, because it had been corrupted. And this is mentioned by Jesus. He calls the scribes names like snakes and scum because of their corruption of the religion. This is mentioned in the gospel. Jesus is calling them names. The Pharisees, the people who were in charge of the Sanhedrin, and Jesus curses them because of their misapplication of funds. The money changers, drives them out with a whip, their corruption of text and teaching, and he accuses them of that. So these are the people who will be in the lowest hellfire. Then when Muhammad, peace be upon him, comes, many of the Christians recognized him as being who he was supposed to be, the Parakletos, mentioned by Jesus, the one who would come and be the comforter, the counselor, the spirit of truth. Look in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and chapter 16, and see what it says. Get the Koine Greek, though, and look at Parakletos. That's the word. And Jesus talked about a prophet like unto me will come. I go that he can come. If I do not go, he cannot come. And people said, oh, that's the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say that. This is something that people came up with on their own. Where do they get this stuff from? Stop and think about it. And by the way, the Holy Spirit, there is no Holy Ghost, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the name of Jibril, that's his title. If you look in the Gospels, you find very clearly that the angel goes to Mary and tells her she's going to have a baby. That same angel is the one who goes to Joseph and tells him that Mary is going to have a baby, but it's of the Holy Spirit. But this doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit, as in the angel, is having sex with Mary. No, it means that he has told her about it. Because she's a virgin. That means she didn't have sex. Anyway, I don't want to get into that part of the subject. The point that I'm making here is, what is salvation in Islam? It's to believe in all of the prophets. Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jacob, the 12 tribes, all of the prophets, all the way from David to Solomon to Jesus, peace and blessings be upon all of them, and to believe in Muhammad as a prophet, a messenger of God. You have to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the miracle birth. He is the Word of Almighty God. He is created in a miracle way, like Adam and like Eve. And you don't worship him, and you don't worship Eve, and you don't worship Adam, and you don't worship Muhammad. Muhammad, you worship the God of them. And you have to believe in the books. God sent many books. We believe in all the books. We believe in all the prophets in their original form, in their original teaching. When you believe that, and you believe in the angels, you believe in the day of resurrection, you believe in predestination of God, then you're a Muslim. At least you've got the belief of a Muslim. And if you act on it, you're trying your best, then you, what else could you be but a Muslim? Even if you don't know what Muslim means. I received an email saying somebody believed in God, didn't believe Jesus was anything more than a prophet, did believe that Muhammad is a prophet, does want to follow the commandments, but they want to pray with Muslims, but they don't want to make their shahada. They don't want to say, I want to enter Islam. They said, can you tell me what's wrong with me praying along with Muslims, fasting with Muslims? What would be wrong with that if I still want to be a Christian? but don't try to convert me in your answer. And I went, what? First of all, I can't convert anybody. Nobody converts anybody to Islam. A person reverts to their natural inclination. When you are born, the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, taught us, when you are born as a child, you are born into Islam. You're born into submission to God. You're already in the right way. You're already doing what God wants you to do. But it's your parents who will raise you up to become a Jew, a Christian, or a fire worshiper. The understanding in Islam is that a child is born innocent. And to be a Muslim is to be innocent. And then by that I don't mean that, you know, you didn't make any sins. But it means that you are trying your best to live up to what God wants you to do. And when you make a sin, you are honest about it. You say, I made a sin and I'm sorry. You repent to God. You don't tell other people what you did, but you talk to God. You tell him, I'm sorry. And he forgives you. Why? Because he's the only one that can forgive you. There isn't anybody else to forgive you except him. And when you're honest and sincere and you say, God, forgive me, he forgives because he's the merciful. The only thing he doesn't forgive, and he told us in the Quran, chapter 4, verse 48. Read it. He said very clearly, I do not forgive that people associate partners with me in worship. Shirk is what it's called in Arabic. But anything less than this, I can forgive. Yes, eventually. I didn't say you don't go to hell at all, but there are people they've murdered, they've done X, Y, Z, they've done a lot of bad stuff, but still in their heart they believed in God. They did try to some extent to be Muslim or surrendering to God, the walk of the way of God. But they messed up. If they repented, if they were sincere in their repentance, they don't have to stay in the hellfire forever. They can get out. That's kind of good news. I say that because I don't want to go to hell at all, but at least they can get out. But the ones who will never get out of hell, ever, for eternity, are who? Only those people who refuse to believe in God and obey Him. And if you said, well, what about the people that never heard about God? They're on a desert island, or somehow the message didn't get to them. Did He create them? Of course He did. Is He the one that took care of them through their life? Yes. And if you said, well, He never gave them the message. Well, believe it or not, everybody is born with a sense of what's right or wrong. And if they really believe in God, and they really want to do what God wants them to do, it's still going to be up to Him on the day of judgment to judge them, not you, not me. And He will deal with them in justice. He's promised that. He will ask them, do you believe in me? Yes, of course. Because on that day, what else there is to believe? And then He will set a test up for them. And in one example, it says that He will show them to jump in the fire. Will you obey me? Yes. Well, then jump in this fire. And if they refuse, then they won't get to go to paradise. But if they obey Him, they'll find it's not really a fire, that they wind up going to paradise. Alhamdulillah. So His mercy. His mercy prevails over His anger, His wrath. His mercy is so much so that the Prophet, peace be upon him, taught us that Allah has 100 parts of mercy. And only one of the 100 parts of Allah's mercy has been used in His creation. And all of the mercy that extends over all the creation, like the mother has for the baby. And how much mercy does a mother have for their baby? And you can't even measure it. I can't measure it. But all of the mercy of all of the mothers for all of the babies and all the animals for all of their offspring and all the mercy people show each other is still only one part of the mercy of Almighty Allah out of His 100 parts of mercy. And the other 99 parts of Allah's mercy is waiting for the believers on the day of judgment. And I'm waiting for that too. We all are. So this should give us some idea of the mercy of Allah. It extends beyond you, what you can imagine, what I can imagine. But Allah's mercy is not illogical. That mercy is for those who really do try. They try their best. And God knows who's trying. And He forgives according to His judgment. and we ask for His mercy and His judgment to be fair and easy for us. Amen. You've been listening to Islam Always. We've been broadcasting live and now rebroadcasting almost live for you online. You can copy this, send it out to your friends. You can download it, burn a copy to your CDs and hand it out. We hope you'll enjoy it. Visit our internet website, islamalways.com. Islam Always is always open, always there for you, and we always hope that you will always come to our website at islamalways.com, where we're always open 24 hours a day and always plenty of free parking. Until next time, Salam Alaikum. Peace be upon you.